One of the things I love about the story of Mary and Martha is the fact that whoever you are, you relate to either Mary or Martha. You are either a Mary or you're a Martha. And here's how you can tell. What do you want to do on Memorial Day? You have the day off. Is it a day to finally get everything done around the house that you need to get done? You've got your list. You know what you're going to get done. If that's your case, you are Martha. However, if you take Memorial Day tomorrow as a day where you can relax and take it easy, sit in the back, do a cookout, hang out with family and friends, you're probably Mary. We relate to one. We're either a workaholic or we're a lazy bum. We're either one or the other. You know, when you, if you're around the house and you're cleaning up and you're cleaning the house and you see other people sitting around, it bothers you. Why? Because we have things to do. Or maybe you're the kind of person that needs to spend time with the family. This work around the house can be done another time. This precious time with our family is so important. That's what happens when we find the story of Mary and Martha. It's in Luke chapter 10. Just very briefly, I want to look at that. It just so happens to come on the day that we honor people who actually minister and serve in our church. And I think it's an important thing to look at. We're going to look at some things with the family. Family dynamics. Relationship dynamics that we have. Luke chapter 10, I'm just going to read it again. I appreciate Emily, but there's a few things I want to point out. I want you to look at it in the scriptures. It says in verse 38, it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. It was her house, not Mary's. She may have been the oldest, but it was her house. And this says in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You find Mary mentioned three times in the Bible, and every time she's mentioned, she's at the feet of Jesus. This time, you find another time she's at the feet of Jesus when her brother Lazarus was dead, and she was sorrowing and crying. And another time when she anointed Jesus' feet with oil. Every time you see Mary, she is at the feet of Jesus. Here, she's stopping and listening to him. In verse 40, but there's a contrast. Mary was listening, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. That's an old-fashioned word, cumbered. Had to look it up. It means to be dragged away by distraction. It's a little, in the Greek, it's a little bit stronger than just being distracted, okay? We have distracted driving, which means we're doing something else beside that. This means she was actually pulled away. She was pulled away from Jesus because about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath let me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. So she was distracted because she had so much to do. She had so many things, and she made two statements to Jesus. One was a question, don't you care? And the other was a statement, bid her, tell her. In other words, don't you care that I'm doing all this work alone, and she's just sitting here? Tell her to get off her duff and get to work. There's work to do around here, and all she's doing is sitting around. And verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, 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 Martha. Several people in the Bible, their names are mentioned twice in a row. Moses, Moses, Jacob, Jacob. It's interesting. Several times, there are about nine of them in Scripture. And what it is the reason why their name is mentioned twice, it's because he wants them to pay attention to what he's saying. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You are careful and your care troubles you. And you have many things. This is the contrast. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus contrasts the many things that need to be done. But there's only one thing that's needful. Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of things that look like they appear to need to be done. but there's only one thing that really needs to be done. And Mary has had a choice, and she's chosen that one thing that needs to be done, and I am not going to take it away from her. So here's some relationship thoughts that we have, and that is, first of all, recognize different temperaments. Everybody is different. Some of us are naturally Marys, and some of us are naturally Marthas. We're all just a little bit different. And the problem is we see everything through our own eyes, through our own lens, through our own personality. If we're a neat freak, we think everybody else ought to be. If we're kind of, you know, take it as it comes, we think everybody else ought to. And we need to be careful of that and recognize that God has created us all just a little bit different. All the way back to Plato in the 5th century BC, he recognized that there's four different temperaments. Gary Smalley has recognized that we respond to each other in 5 different love languages. Kevin Lehman has even said that because of our birth order, whether we're the oldest, the youngest, or, you know, the middle child syndrome, we see life just a little bit different. And there's a beauty in that, in the fact that because we're different, we can help each other out. But it does cause friction. But you just need to realize that just because somebody does something different than you or sees it in a different perspective doesn't mean that it's wrong. That's why God, in his ultimate wisdom, has placed 2 diametrically opposed people, men and women, together in a lifelong relationship to create chaos in the home. And no, it's so that we can see different perspectives. Guys, we'll never figure out women. Women, you will never figure us out. And that's okay, because we've got to see it from each other's perspective and work together as a team. But recognize different temperaments. Remove communication barriers. Did you notice, where was Mary? Talk to me. Where was Mary? At Jesus' feet. Martha went up to Jesus. And so while he went up to Jesus, where was Mary? Again. At Jesus' feet. And so she's talking about Mary with Mary sitting right there. It'd be like if I went down here to talk to Gary, and Gary, I want to talk to you about Tracy Arquette, okay? Don't you care that Tracy's just sitting here not doing anything? You tell Tracy to, yeah, there. Tracy is doing a wonderful job up here, keeping Rick under control. But isn't that a little bit, isn't there a communication problem? Shouldn't she have gone to, maybe she had over time and it didn't do any good. Maybe she should have gone straight to Mary. But instead, she went to the top. And she went to Jesus. There's a communication problem here. And I'll tell you what, when I talk to young couples that are getting married, 2 things I always deal with, always, 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 communication and conflict resolution. Both of those things are so important. If you can at least communicate, even if you don't see eye to eye, if you can at least communicate about it, you can get through just about any problem that you have. But if you're not willing to talk it out, if you're not willing to go to the person, if you're trying to go around them, if you're talking about me to anybody else, stop it. Come and talk to me. It doesn't do you any good. And so there's a communication barrier. Remove it and talk to the person kindly, gently, lovingly, but talk to them. And then restrict unmet expectations. I would assume that Martha expected Mary to do some work around the house. And it actually infers that Martha had been at the feet of Jesus. And then she got up because something was happening, needed to be done. And I imagine Mary expected Martha, why would you get up in the middle of Jesus' talk and go, you know, do the dishes? Stay here, the dishes can wait. And so they had expectations for each other. And that is another problem in families. When we expect people to do something without communicating with them our expectations, well, they just should know. No, they probably don't. Sometimes you do have to spell things out. You have to write it down. You have to remind. Well, if it was important, they would remember. Yes, because, and I hate to say it this way, because it's important to you. But remember, we're all different. What's important to you is not necessarily important to the other person. So sometimes we have to let our expectations be known, what we expect. And don't have your expectations so high. Be careful. We work as a team, so sometimes there are some unmet expectations that we want somebody to do something and they're not doing it. Be very careful of setting those up. So those are just some relationship problems that we find here in this whole story. But this story isn't just about two people in a family. This isn't about two sisters in a supper. This is really about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is church. And I want to bring in how this applies to our relationship with Jesus. And the first one is this, and that is that that blessed are the balanced. Work like Martha. Worship like Mary. Jesus does not say that Martha is wrong. He doesn't say that the things that she's doing is bad. So we need to be careful. That's not an either or. It's the fact that, you know what? We do need to serve. There is a time to serve and there's a time to worship. There's a time to work and there's a time to relax. And blessed is the person that understands the best timing. There's a time to confront somebody, and there's a time to lay off of it and relax and let everything else happen. And we need to serve the Lord. And I think there is that balance. And sometimes we want to do one or the other. We want to do all this or all that. We're either all in or all. It's kind of like my wife with the heater controls in the car. I know you're going to tell her. Go right ahead and tell her, because you tell her everything. Like a couple weeks ago, she said, "Did you say something about me in church service?" And I go, I can't complain about you anywhere without somebody telling you. But it's what it is. That's right. When she the heat is either on, hot, full blast, or it is off. I think one of the greatest inventions is the dual controls. Unless you have somebody who thinks the whole thing should just be changed, you know? And so all of a sudden it's either on or it's off or it's hot or it's cold or whatever it is. And I go, oh man, I'm burning up. Oh, I am freezing in here. And so she has that. But hey, you know what? We're all a little bit different. And what we have to do is we have to work and serve and then take time to worship. Understand what time it is. The second thing we find here is be very careful this. When we criticize others and pity ourselves, it's time to check our drift away from Jesus. It is hard to see us, ourselves, drifting away from Jesus. But here is how you can tell. You become critical. Instead of grateful, you become critical. Well, Mary's not doing this. Mary's not doing this. Mary should be doing this. Our eyes become critical on somebody else. When you begin to develop a critical spirit, we all see it in everybody else. When you hear somebody else griping and complaining, turn around and says, "Where'd they get that bad attitude?" When you can tell you're getting a bad attitude when you're complaining about everything. A couple weeks ago, we were complaining it was because it was so cold. Now, we're complaining because it's so hot. We're complaining now because it's raining again. Another month, we're going to be complaining because it's so dry. You know what? And you know what? There isn't a stinking thing we can do about the weather. But it must be our thing to do is complain, so we gotta complain. Nothing else to talk about. Let's talk about that. Well, why don't we talk about something that we can control? Oh, I don't want to talk about that. So what happens is we can begin to have a critical spirit about everything. It's almost like if somebody brings up anything, we've got something critical to bring up about it. And the other side is we begin to pity ourselves, how much we're working and how hard it is and how bad our life is. You know what I love to do? I love to go to people and visit people that are really having a rough time and a hard way to go, because you know what? They don't complain at all. You go visit Marie Yoder, who has 4-stage cancer, and she very seldom gets out of the house. She's got the sweetest attitude. Her list of things that she's involved in our church is about 4 or 5. She has not let the bad things that have happened to her get her head. Oh, she has bad days, I know. But you know what? Be very careful, because when that happens, you're beginning to drift away from the Lord. And then the last one, I think it's probably the most important. And that is, the most important thing we can do for Jesus is spend time with Jesus. The service that we give Jesus should come from a life of devotion for him. And it is real easy to allow our service for Jesus to become a worship in itself. Look how much I'm doing for Jesus. And we allow that to become our life with him. No, that's not. We need to spend time with him. Now, sometimes we have this idea, we become the Mary. And we say, well, you know what? I'm not going to do anything for Jesus. I'm just going to spend time with him. I want to develop my love for him. No, you have to have that balance. Again, work like Martha, worship like Mary. But when was the last time you spent personal time with Jesus? I'm not talking about reading through the Bible really quick to get it done for the day. And I'm not talking about saying a little prayer in the morning or right before you eat. I'm talking about taking even 2 or 3 or 5 minutes. I don't even want to put a time limit on it, where you just spend time having a conversation with your loving Savior. In my day, we used to call it quiet time, personal devotions. And I know we use helps like the daily bread or something like that, or we read a certain scripture, but just to spend time with him, that is the most important thing you can do all day. And here is my throwaway for this, my encouragement, and that is, if you will take just a few minutes every day just to say, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to spend a few minutes and talk to God and spend time with him and listen to his word, just a few minutes, it's amazing how the rest of the day will find its pattern, because you have done the most important to-do list to check it off, to do that for him and with him. Spend time with him. I don't know what you're like. I don't know if you're like Martha. I don't know if you're like Mary. I don't know if any of this kind of resonated with you, but I do know this. Jesus Christ loves you. He wants to spend time with you. If you have never trusted him as your own personal Lord and Savior, this isn't a list of things to do to get him to love you. He already loves you. All you need to do is trust him as your own personal Lord and Savior. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve it, but I want you as my Savior. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus and receive him into your heart, you will become one of his children. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I just want you to think about that. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this would be the perfect time to ask him to be your Lord and Savior, to surrender your life to him. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't let that be some little thing on your trophy case that, okay, I did that. I want it to be something that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and now you're spending time with him. I'm going to pray in just a minute, and Barb's going to play a song. If you want to just come and talk to God about that, maybe you haven't been spending the right amount of time, or maybe something else that kind of jars your thoughts that you need to talk with God about, spend time with him. You come. And as Mary knelt in front of Jesus, she sat down. I invite you to come and just sit down in the front pews, or kneel down if you want to, and just talk to him about whatever it is that's on your heart. He wants to spend time with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you really do want to spend time with us. But we are so busy with so many things. Our calendar, our day is filled with stuff that we feel like we have to do or that we want to do. And we just don't have enough time to get it all done. But Father, really only one thing is needful, and that is you. Forgive us when we have drifted, and help us to come back to you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.